Ask Catherine. We have some great questions this week. First and foremost, thank you for your great service. As you have coined, anything can happen. I believe that your forecast of a crash-up scenario is highly probable. That's a crash-up in the equity markets as money spills out, water falls out of the bond market. Likely, yeah, well, let me finish this question, then I'll go back. Could you give us your best guess as to what could happen in the precious metal sector and energy sector in your crash-up hypothesis? Yes, it's possible that we get a crash up, and I think that's the more likely scenario. We could also end up in a deflationary scenario, sort of a spiral down. So I want you to give some kind of probability to that, and we have to keep our eye on making sure if that gets going, we get out of its way and don't sit around just hoping for a crash up. So remember, deflationary spiral, some possibility of that. But yeah, I do think the crash up is highest. If you look at what could happen in the precious metal sector, in a crash up scenario, you could either have a plateau in prices or the primary trend reassert. My only concern is if we could get dips before the primary trend reasserts down to as low as 1100 to 700. In a deflationary spiral, we could definitely, gold could definitely go down to 700, particularly as interest rates rise. So I would stick, if you go to the blog, you will see a commentary that I wrote approximately a year, year and a half ago, called "What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals?" And I think that that is basically my fundamental advice until and unless the primary trend reasserts. And we're just going to have to keep watching it. Essentially, what I say is precious metals is central bank insurance. It's a core position. You have a core position. You don't worry about the price. But until we see the primary trend reassert, I would be very careful about investment positions. The energy sector is the sector that keeps me up at night. In the short term, I think there's a real opportunity in energy that started at the sort of towards the end of last year. And I've been nibbling from the end of last year until, say, February. And my expectation is it can go a little bit higher. So I think short-term energy is one of the few opportunities in the U.S. equity market. However, if you look at what is happening with all sorts of technology in renewables and breakthrough energy technology, I think the chances of shifts, not so much in our use of energy, because shifting the infrastructure takes a long, long time, but shift in equity valuations in the market can come much faster than the shifts in the infrastructure. And so when it comes to big investments in things like LNG and oil, I'm skittish in the intermediate long term, and I just keep watching different announcements. For example, we had Elon Musk come out this last week and announce the Tesla power pack that you can put up on your wall. And he's got a Tesla power pack for industrial application, which can apparently be stacked. So this is clearly new and young. We don't know how much he can produce. But as he said before, he's allowing the patents to be open source so that anybody can do this. And I think if you look at innovations like this, and there are hundreds of them, we could really see some power shifting in the equity valuations area. So short term, very positive, intermediate term, skittish. And it's one of those things I don't know how to predict except to watch, because what technology is permitted is to a certain extent very politically driven. When you don't even know who's running thing, who knows what could happen. And I think we need to watch that across the board. The steady shift of technology, both energy and communication technology, can change equity valuations across every sector. So we're coming into a real sort of jump the curve situation. Next question. You have often mentioned the need for companies to jump the curve to get to a global 3.0 state. I was wondering if we have the opportunity to influence municipal, county, state, or federal governments or organizations, what should we do to get them to make the jump to 3.0? If you could suggest any books or articles on this topic, that would be very helpful. Thank you. What a great question. I really appreciate that. I'm going to do some research to find examples for municipal, county, and state. I'll start there first. Many involve building resiliency by doing one of several things. One is integrating new technology into infrastructure. There's a wonderful example of the Portland water supply system putting energy turbines into the water pipes. It's a perfect example of stacking functions. Another great example is building local supplies of fresh food and natural health alternatives. And I've put up some wonderful TED speeches, particularly one of a group in England that really just had an extraordinary renaissance of gardening and fresh food all over local community. And then there's a great deal to be done with facilitating local equity. The SEC has announced that they're going to promulgate, or there's an indication the SEC is going to promulgate the crowdfunding finally this year. Depending on how that looks, there's a lot that state and local government can do working with local small business to encourage the facilitation of local equity. And it gets very powerful when you build internships with that attract sort of the young people to stay in the area and help build up the financial and intellectual capacity of the local business community. And there's a lot you can do with stock options and in internships working with local community colleges. So those are three examples of the kind of things that build resiliency. But that's a great question, and I'm going to do some research and see if I can't come back with something much more detailed and responsive. Great question. Whitley Strieber, I never once heard him mention Global Spring. What is up with that? That's an excellent question. It was a mission on my part that I didn't ask Whitley about that. I just very much wanted him to unload his impressions of what we were missing in his analysis. Speaking of Global Spring, I just posted a new, really good USA Watchdog video with Dane Wigington on geoengineering. Greg Hunter had him on, which I thought was terrific. Hi, Catherine. Many thanks to you and your staff for an extremely informative, lively, and delicious 21 Club luncheon. Never know what to think of these reports, no matter what, but value your opinion. And then they sent a series of links to people discussing the alien and UFO question, and I will take a look at those. I never know what to make of them. That's why I pretty much depend on a couple of other people like Dolan and Farrell to tell me sort of what's useful and what's not in that area. It's just money. My beat is my tool to understand if things make sense or not is money, and it's a phenomenon that simply does not lend itself to that kind of analysis. Dear Catherine, in this 30-minute video, we're shown some stunning weather maps and other information building a strong case that geoengineering is causing the drought in California and the strange, bizarre weather in other parts of the country. Since I know you follow the subject, I wanted to pass the information on. Thanks for that. Yes, I think that geoengineering is affecting the weather patterns. Jeff Rentz follows both geoengineering and Fukushima very intensely, and he believes that the drought in California is an effort using geoengineering to keep the radiation from being rained onto California. They're trying to make sure that it gets dumped into the ocean before it hits California. I don't know if that's true, but it's one possible explanation. Dear Catherine, in your opinion, how much influence the powers that be have in creating all of these boom and bust economic cycles that we've all experienced? A great deal. Whenever you're operating in a fiat currency system with invisible leadership behind a one-way mirror, and you run these boom and bust cycles, I'm not saying 100% is managed, but it's extraordinary how much is. It's essentially a harvesting system. Now, the reality is there is an enormous amount that people could do to improve our immune system. And so the general population has not gotten smart about this. And so that's the big question coming into the next 10 years. Can we build sufficient consciousness? Because the reality is if we shift our consciousness, it shifts the whole game. Dear Catherine, my wife Bonnie and I look very much forward to having lunch with you this Saturday. They're referring to the lunch in New York. You've been a big influence on us since we started our subscription in 2008. And then they suggest that I get Anita Hogue and Charlotte Isserbitt on about Common Core. That's a great suggestion. And in fact, I've been thinking of having one or both of them. So I thank you for that. And they also mentioned a video of Simon Parks. I had posted one of Simon's videos. He's a local legislator and government official in Britain who claims to have had alien experiences and has a lot of information. Again, I never know what to how to judge these things. Again, they don't lend themselves to my analytics.